our commitment to the vows we made to God. And I actually want to talk about marriage. You know, we made a vow not only to our spouse, but also to God, that we would love our spouse. And do you know what? That means a lot of things. That not only means that you're supposed to live with that person and coexist, it means that we have to be faithful in our fight to maintain the connection, in our fight to be a loyal friend, in our fight to be consistent, to be someone that actually takes at heart the other person's feelings and the other person's way of thinking, and actually coming aside that person and being consistent and being someone that is reliable. Okay, I remember in my early years of being married to George, it was quite difficult for me. I was very insecure, and we had these long, or we tried to have these long conversations on the couch, but I always ejected and went to my room because I couldn't handle the intensity. I was very insecure. And then one day God actually spoke to me and he said to me, Letitia, you're actually not fulfilling your vows towards your husband as a faithful friend, because you're sowing seed of separation. You're not sowing seed of oneness. And I had to repent and go back and sit through excruciating conversations with my husband. And do you know what was amazing about it? Was at the end, we could get back to loving one another. After working through all the issues, we could come back to a place where our communication could be streamlined and where we knew that we would be faithful until the end. Because we are actually living out the fruit of faithfulness daily. You know, it's a daily walk in the Spirit. It's not once off when you walk down the aisle. It's a daily walk in the Spirit. The benefits of faithfulness is that faithfulness actually increases. There's a principle in the Bible that says that whatever you're faithful with, God will increase because you are trustworthy. So if you want more intimacy in your relationships, be a faithful friend. If you want a better marriage, be faithful in this assignment God has given you to actually nurture your spouse. If you want to be a trustworthy servant in the church and expand a ministry, be faithful in what God has given you. The scripture that I want to quote is Luke 16 verse 10. And it's about the parable of the unfaithful steward. And this is what God said. The one who manages the little he has been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibility. Oh my goodness, hallelujah. But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. We determine whether we can get more of Christ or whether we get less of Christ according to our faithfulness. And although the fruit of the Spirit is, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit. So it's something that comes from our connection with God, okay? But sometimes it is difficult as we grow our fruit and as we mature in Christ. And there is grace. I just want to say that there is grace. It says in the Word in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 that even when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful. And the story that really touched my heart was the story of Peter. I was so touched when I just thought about it. You know, Peter the character, Peter the disciple that walked with Jesus, Peter that had the revelation that Jesus was the Son of Man, Peter who said to God that he would not deny him, Peter who actually denied Christ. And denial is a form of unfaithfulness because you actually denied your responsibility to an assignment or to that person. Peter was grieved because he denied Jesus. And then Jesus came with this conversation where he actually mended Peter's heart and he ministered restoration. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, with a grieved heart, said, yes, Jesus, I love you. 3 times. And every time Jesus gave him an assignment, and Peter became, instead of a reed, unfaithful reed, he became a rock, a pastor of the church of Jerusalem. And at the end, the fruit of the Spirit was so matured in his life that he could be crucified. Other way around, for the sake of the kingdom. Such a beautiful testimony of just someone that wrestled with the fruit of faithfulness and someone that matured in his love for Christ. One of my favorite fruit is long suffering. I just love this fruit. It's a fruit in my life that has caused a lot of breakthrough as I matured in it. And for me, long suffering is the fruit that gives you grit in difficult situations. It is the fruit that when resistance comes, that you can actually strengthen yourself, not be shaken by situations around you and circumstances around you, and actually persevere and be patient until you get the promise that God has promised over your life. So I just love this fruit. Okay, the Hebrew word for this fruit is maroth umuha, and that's why I do not study Greek or Hebrew. It's made out of two words. The one is long, and the other one is temper. So it means patience, forbearance, fortitude, endurance, the ability to endure persecution, suffering, and ill treatment. So that is what the fruit is all about. And it's a powerful fruit. It's a fruit that not only has the form, but the power to get breakthrough in your life. Okay, now, I think we as church actually need to tweak the definition of suffering, because there's a lot of churches out there that actually do not preach on suffering that much, but it is one of the fruit of the Spirit, which means that suffering is part of our walk in Christ. And I just love this 1 Peter 4 verse 12 scripture. I'm going to read it. It's in the Passion Translation, but I just love it. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you." Church, we cannot be surprised if an ordeal comes over your path, as though something strange were happening to you. "But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So as we suffer with Christ, God's glory is revealed. "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." How beautiful is that? When we are insulted for Christ, then the Spirit of glory rests upon us. Another scripture that has been a foundational scripture in my life is 1 Peter 5 verse 10. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you." So if you want to be restored, okay, God sometimes uses suffering. He will confirm you. If you want to be confirmed in your identity in Christ, sometimes we have to go through uncomfortable situations. If you want to be strengthened in Christ, then we have to go through uncomfortable situations. And if we want things to be established in our lives, to form a foundation, then we have to go through uncomfortable situations. Okay? People that did not understand long-suffering is a guy called Esau. Now, I still don't really understand what happened there, because he had the meat. He hunted meat. He was on his way back home, so it wouldn't take that long to actually just make a fire. But here comes Jacob. I think Jacob must have been a great cook. He asked him whether he could get his firstborn right for a bowl of soup. And Esau didn't have the long suffering, the patience to actually endure hunger and tiredness, and he gave up a huge blessing that God had for him. You know, we can give up blessings. The scripture that is really a scripture, that is a foundational scripture for long suffering, is in Hebrews 6, verse 9 to 12. It says, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised. Because of their strong faith and patient or long-suffering endurance. Another translation says, through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. So there are two things. There's faith, and then there's the endurance to actually go through uncomfortable situations to get the promises of God. Someone that actually majored on long-suffering is Paul. I think Paul was just so grateful that he was saved, that even when he was stoned, died three times, he just went back, preached the gospel. When he was in jail, he would say, oh, thank goodness, the gospel is spreading, so it's fine if I'm in jail, because he had the perseverance to endure uncomfortable situations. Now, you get different kinds of suffering. You get good suffering and bad suffering. Okay, and we need to really understand this, because sometimes we get confused. Okay, the good suffering is suffering because of persecution. We are blessed when we are persecuted. It can be as simple as standing for purity when you're at university and being an outcast because of that, and it can be something as intense as your house being burned down in a village in India because you serve Jesus Christ. But either way, you're blessed. Do you know what? When you're persecuted, the devil is scared of you. And he's trying to throw the sink at you because he's running out of ideas. Because you're powerful, you have the spirit of glory upon you, and your light is shining brightly. So rejoice when persecution comes. You know, don't see it as something that is unusual. Another thing, another good reason for suffering is enlargement. I just love this part of the kingdom. You know, it's almost as when you're pregnant and you're being enlarged, you feel very uncomfortable. And there are seasons when God actually releases promises in our lives. But before the promises can be birthed, he's trying to make space, and he's trying to stretch us spiritually. He's trying to enlarge us so that we can actually carry the weight of the promise that God wants to give us. Mother Teresa was on her way to a nun's meeting. She gave her life to Jesus and committed her life as a nun. On her way there, she passed Kolkata. She called it the call within the call when Jesus Christ spoke to her heart and asked her whether she would give up her life to go and serve the people that were dying on the streets of Kolkata. The first 3 years were excruciating for her. She wrote many letters to her sisters where she said she was used to poverty, but this was extreme poverty. It was something she never experienced before, and she couldn't handle it. The weight was too much. The discomfort was too much. She was dragging people, dirty people, people who were dying, people who were malnourished. She would get from the streets, bath them, clothe them, and it was a difficult, difficult job to do, okay? My question is, what would have happened if Mother Teresa said after 3 years, this is too difficult for me? What would have happened? God was making space in her life, enlarging her to be a blessing for other people. And she had the fruit of long-suffering to endure the difficult times. Then we get bad suffering. This is suffering that's not supposed to happen. That's not God ordained, okay? But it does happen. Suffering because of foolishness is also not something that God ordained in our lives. God wants us to walk in wisdom, and that's why it's always good just to get more word into your life, because that will actually protect you from foolishness. Now, foolishness, my definition of foolishness is when you think you're right, but you're actually not right. But you're convinced that you're right. The Pharisees were convinced that they were right about the Messiah, but they were not. They were convinced that they were right about the circumcision, but they were not. And foolishness sometimes creeps in when we listen to other things outside of the Bible. We listen to News 24, we listen to our uncle at the braai, we listen to our life's experiences and make assumptions based on wisdom that we gained over the years of experience. But it's not always fully biblical and the truth that God wants us to build our lives on. An example of that would be in my life, again, my first few years of marriage. I actually thought I knew what submission meant. George and I had a nice life. I was his partner. I worked. Things couldn't be better, but I could see in my husband's life that he wasn't enjoying marriage at all. And I didn't really know what I was doing wrong. Seriously, I loved God, I loved my husband, I thought I was doing everything right, until one day when I sat with one of my cell leaders at a lunch date, and out of the blue, we spoke about our lives, and she said to me, Letitia, the problem is you do not understand submission. Whew. When I drove back from that conversation, my flesh was like, how dare that woman say, I do not understand submission. I can quote scriptures. What does she mean with I do not understand submission? But I felt the sting of conviction, and I knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me about submission. So I actually thought, just to prove her wrong, I would go and research submission to let her know that I'm actually righteous, I'm right, my opinion is right, I know the scriptures, and I'm doing what the scriptures are saying. It ended off with me falling flat on my face when I realized that I hated submission. I couldn't do it. It was terrible for my flesh. It was terrible. And I had to make a decision to actually choose God. My marshmallow Christianity had to turn into A-level Christianity in that area of my life. And I had to make excruciating decisions. I had to change my career. I had to change my priorities at home. I had to change my interaction with George and leadership at church and all other areas where submissions feature. I had to change that. And I had to let God actually mature me in that area. I'm still not there yet. I will confess, but I'm growing, which is a good thing. So sometimes we think we know when we do not know, and we will carry the consequences of not knowing. We always have to be aware of, are we shining the light? Are we ministering love? Or are there things that is blocking the Spirit of God in our lives? And are we ministering something counterfeit from what Jesus wants? Another way how we can suffer, which is not in the will of God, is because of our flesh. Now again, that's when we take this little fake ID and we decide that we no longer want to be Letitia righteous. It's too difficult. It's not easy. Life of suffering, life of persecution is not easy. So we're just going to use our fake ID again and do few fleshly things because it is nice to do fleshly things. It is nice to hang out with our friends and do a little bit of naughty things in between and still say that we are Christians. It's easier. A testimony in my life would be, I was actually shocked how quickly you can become a marshmallow Christian. I was a Christian for many years, and then when I started my first job, I thought, man, I've got the passion to serve God, so I'll just keep on being A-level. But I didn't spend time in the Word. I worked from 6 until 8 in the evenings for 2 years, wasn't really at a church, and after those 2 years, I made a lot of fleshly decisions that cost me a lot of heartache in my life. And God had to discipline me. Because the thing with flesh is, if you start using your fake ID, God will discipline you because you are his child and he loves you, and that's why he will discipline you. And God disciplined me by sending me to a foreign country and not releasing a job for 9 months without having any money, for 9 months without having any friends, for 9 months to actually sort out this strong world, false identity life that I wanted to live. And after I was in submission to God and God led, I was in the middle of God's will again, and I could feel the strength and the leadership of the Holy Spirit fill my life again, and me hearing God's voice clearly. I'm going to end off with the final way how we suffer, which is also not always good for us, and that is demonic influence. That is when things are not working out the way it's supposed to work out for a very long time. There's anti-progress, there's anti-breakthrough, there's anti-healing, there's anti-wholeness in your life. And the more you try and do the right thing, the more you try and be the best person you can be, the more resistance comes. And you just feel as if nothing is working. We as church sometimes need to discern whether it might not be demonic influence. In my life, I had a huge stronghold that held me back for many years. And God was so gracious to take me through long process and a lot of hard work. Three different seasons in my life where I had to get deliverance, and that was when I was a Christian, to actually get me to a place where I could progress again and where I could live in the fullness of Christ. So if there's an area in your life where you feel as if you're stifled, if you feel as if things are not working out, I want to actually encourage you to find out if there might not be any demonic influence that's holding you back. And do you know what? God is merciful, God is gracious, he will reveal to you, he will send leaders over your path with authority to actually help you. But it needs to happen from a place of you being willing to sort out a specific area in your life and bring it under submission of Christ. So this is all about faithfulness and long-suffering that I can share today. I just want to end off with a prayer. And I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted us to pray for those who might feel as if they're marshmallow Christians, that you will experience the grace of God like Peter did, and experience the grace of God, the restoration of God, to actually get you to a place where God wants to give you assignment again and a second chance to be faithful. And for you to open up your life and grow in the area of faithfulness. And then for those who are struggling because of suffering, because you've been fleshly, because you've been foolish, or because of demonic influence, I just want to pray for that. And I pray that God will strengthen you and give you the patience to endure until breakthrough comes. So let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we just come to you and we want to thank you, Father, that you have us in the palm of your hand. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to live a life of fruitfulness. Lord, in the areas where we might have turned away from you, Lord, where we might have been unfaithful to you, Lord, we want to turn back to you. We want to say, God, come into our lives, convict us of sin, Lord, so that we can be faithful again and be the ambassadors that you want us to be in the kingdom of light. God, where there's areas of foolishness, Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask that you will give us wisdom. We ask that you will give us breakthrough. We ask that you will give us the patience to take to submit under you and endure the process of getting back to wisdom. Where there's been flesh, Lord, we ask that you will give us the patience to endure your discipline, Lord, so that we can live a life of fullness, a life of abundance, and a large life. Lord, and in the areas of demonic influence, Lord, we ask that you will come and bring revelation. Father, we ask that you will come and break the yoke of the enemy, Lord, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Father, we give our lives back to you, and we ask that we will live in our true identity as sons and daughters of Christ, as the righteousness of Christ, and that we will throw away our false identity and the things that we find our just our importance in and our value in. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.